Welcome to the South Cars Conference number 96140. Connection established.
Welcome to South Cars TNT, the Thursday night thematic open forum for Thursday, October 15th, 2009. South Cars TNT is a self-directed public service open forum whose aim is to share the collective knowledge with any and all who have an insatiable curiosity for all things. We promise to entertain, to inform, and mostly, we promise to have fun. This conference is made available by the Western Michigan privately owned repeater network. Your net control for this evening is me, Victor Echo 2 X-ray Papa Lima. My name is Pete, and I'm located in beautiful Montreal, Canada, where the temperature tonight is a cool 5 degrees Celsius or approximately 40 degrees Fahrenheit, under very clear skies. It's a beautiful fall evening, the leaves are changing color, and there's a slight breeze coming from the south. Our open forums are being recorded each week, and we turn them into podcasts. Podcasts are available at www.voip.southcars.com. Look for the South Cars VoIP podcast link on the left of the page. And normally at this time I would read a disclaimer, and the disclaimer goes something like this. The opinions expressed herein are those of the commentator and do not necessarily represent those of South Cars. However, this week, I think that the opinions expressed herein do represent those of South Cars. This week's topic, Echolink 101, and our invited guest, our very own net manager, Gordon, KY6V. This presentation is geared for those just beginning, those interested to begin, and some reinforcement issues and shortcuts for the experienced user. Our net manager brings along an experience in analog and digital communications with specific exposure to Echolink. So with that, if I haven't missed anything, I will double-check my papers. And no, I have not. I think I've said everything I've had to say. So I'll pass it over to Gordon. Welcome aboard, Gordon. Pardon me. I have a remnants of a little bit of a cold from yesterday, people. So you'll have to bear with me as I fumble through some of my sentences. Especially the B's and the V's seem to be problematic tonight. So with that, I invite Gordon, KY6V, to join us. Welcome aboard, Gordon, and thank you so much for being our esteemed guest presenter tonight.
Well, thank you very much, Pete. I see that your opening was 3 minutes and 23 seconds. I'm going to tack that on to my presentation here, if you don't mind. Good evening, everybody, and South Cars, thanks for having me this evening. This is KY6V, and the subject, as mentioned tonight, is going to be Echolink 101, which simply means we will be talking about the basics and getting started, some of the things you should know from the beginning, some ways to streamline your system and thinking as you get further into the operation. It is the intent of this presentation tonight to give some fresh thinking to some of the old-timers, a beginning point for the new user, and hopefully instill an interest in those who are listening on RF to get involved in a mode of operation that is not only growing in leaps and bounds, but one that is remarkably innovative as it does so. This program this evening, by design, will not be including setup suggestions for links and or repeaters, nor will we be covering routers in any depth. Most of these subjects, due to their complexity and the time to discuss, will be subjects covered in future TNT open forum sessions. So let's get started here, and the start is probably starting at the start, and that what equipment is needed. Obviously, you need a computer. Any of the computers will do it. You can be Linux-based, you can be Mac-based, you can be Windows-based. And for those Mac users that are listening here tonight, due to the courtesy of Clint, K6LCS out in California, he posted today for us a tutorial on setting up a Mac, Echo Mac program for Echolink. So if you will refer to his website, www.k6lcs, that's Lima, CharlieSierra.com, you can get information for the Mac. Now, the computer needs a sound card. The computer needs a microphone. The computer should have a speaker or speakers. And last but not least, and obviously, you need an internet connection. You can use a dial-up telephone connection. You can use broadband. We'll get into the comparison between those here a little later in the presentation. Now, how to get started? Obviously, you should download the program. It's absolutely and totally and emphatically free, and you can get it at www.echolink.org. I'll say that again, www.echolink.org. Download and installation time is quite rapid. The file is about 2.77 megabytes. It's a compressed file. It's a self-extracting file. The download and install should only take you a few minutes, and then you'll be ready to have some fun. When you start setting up your config files for Echolink, the first thing you're going to have to ask yourself, do I want to be a single user or do I want to be a sysop? It's my recommendation that you start off as single user. It's a little easier to understand without the...
Oops. All right. It seems Gordon has timed out. Excellent. So we'll give him a second or two. Obviously, he hasn't gotten to that part in the presentation where I have to wait and see how long it's going to take until he can reconnect. Maybe he could put that in the text box. Gordon, are you timed back in? Over. All right. I guess we got to wait a little bit longer. In fact, I'll just amuse you with the soothing sounds of thunderstorms in Montreal. Ah. Isn't that relaxing? I'll take a deep breath. Exhale. And we'll see if Gordon's back. Gordon, are you back with us?
That never happened before.
I'm just glad to see it happen to him, huh?
What was that? Did I time out?
2 minutes ago.
Really? I guess I've got to watch the screen and watch the script at the same time. Where'd you lose it? I'll pick it back up, Jack.
I don't know. I was laughing so hard when you timed out, I forgot where you were. I really did.
Single user versus sysop. Back to you, Gordon. Welcome back.
Oh, I told you I'd slow it down. I guess it didn't catch up with my timing. Sorry, guys and gals. Single user and sysop. Use the single user unless you plan to interface the radio equipment in the near future. Note that your regular call is used for the sysop. And if you're going to, or for the single user, excuse me, and if you're going to be running a link or a repeater, you're going to have to append a dash L or a dash R when setting up your config file. Then I went on to say, when I was talking to myself, that passwords and what happens if you forget it, there's an area in the setup page under tools. Got a little block with a question mark on it. It's right next to the password area. You click on that, it'll come up and tell you what your password is. You don't have to remember it. You don't have to write it down. You don't have to stick it in your safe deposit box, etc., etc. All right, I'm going to be overcautious here and reset everybody. Stand by. All right, you'll be going on in your setup by putting your name, location, and email in there. There's a setup wizard, and then there's the, or you can select the setup pages to do it yourself. It's my recommendation for the first time. Use the wizard. You get a little familiar with things. Later on, as you're changing programs, changing computers, and what have you, it's probably faster and easier just to go right into the pages since you're familiar with them. And put in the information that's necessary. You will be asked as a new newcomer, if you are a first-time register, to register with Echolink headquarters. Just follow the instructions that will be presented in front of you. You'll be asked to verify your license. Just follow the steps requested. You're going to have to send a copy to the Echolink boys to verify you are the person you are and so on and so forth. Okay, what happens next, and what are the common problems? Interesting area of discussion. Stand by, I'm going to reset. There are two major areas that I find that most people have a little difficulty in with, and they're all obtainable. Just a little frustrating when you first get started. That's audio adjustment and firewall issues. Under audio adjustment, the Windows-based program has a record panel. The quickest way to get to this window is to use the EchoLink toolbar and select Adjust Sound Device. I'll say that again, Adjust Sound Device. From here, you can select either the output or the input adjustments to your sound card. Now, I want to touch for a moment on the Advanced Boost. It is not uncommon to find that your microphone gain is insufficient. If this is the case, open your sound card adjustment window, select Options, select Advanced. I say again, Advanced. And check the box called Boost or Microphone Boost. This will most likely require you to lower your original microphone settings for the proper level. That boost will give you about in the magnitude of anywhere from 10 to 20 dB boost, and that is a heck of a kick in the posterior. I want to touch base for a few seconds or so on the audio bar graph. Let me re-toggle the timers. This is KY6V for South Cars. The audio bar graph, in my opinion, is one of the most important tools that you have in your ditty bag. Use it. Look at it frequently. It is your heart monitor to make sure you are doing things correctly. Now, this is the rectangular bar at the bottom of your EchoLink screen that moves as you talk or moves as somebody is talking. So now, working from the left to the right on the bar, the blue indicates the average audio, and that should run roughly 50, 60, 65% in travel across that bar graph. A little yellow showing at the top is by no means a problem. The important flag is the red line. Now, the red line indicates peak audio. That's the maximum excursion of your peak audio. You don't want that thing banging all the time into the right side of the bar graph. It should be running on an average around 80, 90%, something like that. If you start slamming it into the side, what's going to happen is you're going to be over-modulating, you're going to start distorting, you're going to make things uncomfortable for the people that are listening to you, and particularly for those that are hooked into the overall server as links and repeaters. You're just going to be making their equipment very, very unhappy and sounding awfully funny, because all of that equipment is set for a deviation level of 5KC, and when you start exceeding that, why, it just doesn't sound good at all. I want to touch base on Echo Test. Echo Test is a great tool and may be found at node number 9999. You can also find it on your EchoLink screen under the Station tab, upper part of your screen. The system records and plays back your transmissions to tell you how good, bad, or indifferent you sound. Use it. It tells you the true story, and it's a great tool. With that, let me take a pause for the government. All right, we're going to touch on firewalls here, but again, we're going to get into firewalls in real depth when we talk about routers and modems and things of that nature. But for now, let's realize that the EchoLink program requires you to have ports 5198, 5199, and 5200 open for your system to work properly. If you're having problems connecting, maybe even connecting to some but not others, you have a firewall issue. The first step is to use the firewall/router test found under Tools in the upper part of your Echolink screen. Very straightforward. You have to be not connected to anybody when you run that test, and it'll come back and tell you you're either passed or where you fail. Troubleshoot if you have problems one step at a time, and reboot as you go. In isolating a firewall problem, connect your computer, and this is a suggestion, directly to the modem first. This bypasses the router. If you can connect properly and the firewall test passes, you have a problem in the router setup. If it fails, you have a firewall not configured properly in your computer, or you are using a modem that has a built-in firewall. The DSL modems, I might add, are notorious for this issue. They not only have a built-in firewall, but they have a built-in DHCP server. They act just like a router. When you put a router on top of that one, things just go bonkers. When all seems to fail, use the help file, one of the best documents I've seen. This is the best tutorial that I've seen written on the subject. Or you can send an email to Echolink. Let me reboot here or retime the timers. Hang on. And this is KY6V for South Cars. You can send an email to Echolink. The Echolink headquarters staff is very professional, very responsive, and very helpful. Or you can ask a friend that is knowledgeable. And when all else fails, send an email to us at South Cars, our address being voip@southcars.com. voip@southcars.com, and we'd be very happy to assist where we can. What is all of the information on the program screen? Now, we could talk all night on this, but we're going to center on a couple of things. The opening page, the toolbars and icons across the top are many. Just look at your help file. It'll tell you what each one does, and get familiar with it in that respect. The ones I do want to talk about is first the lightning bolt. That's the first icon over to your left. When you click that once, you transmit. When you click it the second time, you go to receive, so it's a toggle. You toggle between receive and transmit by using the lightning bolt. The one next to it that is the red broken link icon, you check on this icon to disconnect and end the connection with your last contact point. Okay, I want to talk about push-to-talk from the keyboard for a moment. Retiming. The program allows you to choose a key on your keyboard that acts like the lightning bolt. It is my recommendation that you stay away from the use of the spacebar for this purpose, and that's one of the options. Too many problems involved with other programs that may be running. And I personally use the control key on the right of the space bar on a normally sized keyboard. But there are other selections that will work just as well. So take a look at that. You don't have to play with your mouse. You just hit a button on the keyboard, and you can toggle back and forth between transmit and receive. Allow me to talk about the text box for a moment. This is used to communicate in text form while someone else is transmitting on voice. And where to write your information for the text sending, use the area that has a white background just left of the send key. That's the send key in the lower right portion of your screen. You must first place your cursor in the box. And second, you should, if you desire, you may send the text by using your enter key on the keyboard instead of playing around with your mouse and the send button. Let me re-clarify that again. The enter button on your keyboard acts as the same function as that send button on your program. I use that all the time. It's just a lot easier, and I don't have to play around with a mouse. All right, this is KY6V, and this is South Cars. We're going to reset the timers. All right, we're going to talk for a moment about the index view. If you'll notice on the Echolink screen, you have an explorer view and an index view. The index view is the main view that comes up when you first bring the program up. The icons of two gears found on the left-hand side of this page represent repeater installations. The chain link, as you scroll down a little bit in that grouping, means that this is a link, a simplex RF installation. The single face icon is a single user. He's coming in or she's coming in on a computer. And the two faces represent a conference server such as you are connected to now. Notice that this program groups all of the calls in alphabetical order in the groups that I just mentioned. How do we find the node number? You know, there's a lot of times somebody says, well, my node is 12345. And you don't know what this person's call is, you don't know what his name is, and you don't know where he's located, and you say, well, how do I find his node number on this program? Because the node numbers are scattered all over the place in a normal display because they're linked up to the categories that I mentioned here just a moment ago. Take your cursor, run it up to the top of that node column, and click once, left-click once on the call-out node at the top of the column, and that whole node will turn into numerical order. Scroll down to the number you are looking for, look to the left, and all the information is there. You can use that technique in changing the other fields on the program also, such as locations and categories and so on and so forth. Quick way to find a node number. The use of the find box for SCARS. Now, here's an interesting one and very dear to my heart. I'm going to read time because I want to spend a little time on this. KY6V and South Cars, stand by. The find option is a search engine. This is the binoculars, the black binoculars up at the top of your screen. You click on that, a little box opens up, and you put a call letter in there, and you hit find, and it goes to work. So at any rate, it's a search engine which starts at the top of your listing and scans down. And it will stop at the first location that has a match to which you had asked for. This may or may not be the listing that you need to connect to. Now listen to that one. May or may not be where you want to be. Many users, and it is recommended, enable the statement show connected conference. When that's enabled on the program, it tells everybody that's looking at your listing where you're currently connected. Now, I want you to think about it this way. If there are 100 stations connected to the SCARS server, and they all have their show connected conference enabled, your search engine, this find box, if you will most likely be stopping at 100 times before it gets to the actual SCARS listing that you want to use to connect to the server. The SCARS listing being down in the conference server area, it's down at the bottom of all of the previous repeaters, links, and etc. And you can't get there from here, guys. Go down and pick it right out of the conference server or type it in to a connect box is the best way to do it. Let me take a pause. I'm not going to go into the Explorer view very much. That's an interesting section of Echolink. You can pull up various locations around the world and who's connected by call sign and so on and so forth. It lists the various nodes and the total number of nodes in each classification, links and repeaters. Gives you an alarm listing that you can work with, a favorites listing. All of this is covered in the help file. These are all options for your choice and interest. I personally find that I use the alarms feature more than anything else available. Very seldom go to any other page because I've listed everybody that I normally contact and talk with on that listing, and I can connect directly from there, find out what their status is, and so on. Okay, we're going to go into an area now called the EchoLink user list, and this is KY6V for South Cars. Stand by one, please. I'm not watching the time here, but we're not doing too bad since you ran the time that you did here, Pete. Why only 16 listed on the EchoLink user list? Well, the program is limited to only 16 at any given time. Problem you run into is if there are 50 connected, you're only seeing part of the story. Why does the transmit station go to the top? This is a function of our server, and most control servers will do this if they're running the TBD software. It runs it up to the top. It makes it easy to recognize who's transmitting. But when it does this, it rolls the guy or the gal that's at the bottom of this list to 16 right off the map, drops them into the bucket, and it's replaced by the transmitting station. So you don't get the whole story. So this leads us into a page that we offer from South Cars that you can pull right off the Internet. Its address is VOIPnet. Now notice that's all pulled together, VOIPnet.southcars.com/users. Now, I'm not going to read this over and over again. I will tell you that that address is on our breaking news section of our website. For the reasons already mentioned above, this particular listing gives you a complete picture of who's connected, everybody. It tells you when they connected and in what sequence they connected and where you are and where you fit in the progression and scheme of things. So I highly recommend it. You know who's on first, you know who's going on second. Stand by for a timer reset, please. Okay, we're going to go into operating in conference mode. I'm going to go through this fairly rapidly. The first question would be, how do I select the number of conferences for my system? If you're on a dial-up, I wouldn't go more than two, and that's you and the person you're talking with. You might squeak in a third, and you're just going to run out of bandwidth. If you're on a broadband cable system, generally speaking, you can run 20 to 25 stations in a conference mode before you get into trouble. Now, the question is why? Only 17 kilobits per second of signal is used for the receive signal coming down your download. And bear in mind also at this point, only one station can transmit at a time, if you stop to think about it. So your download's never going to exceed roughly 17 kilobits. However, the other side is for each station in the conference that you are hosting, you are the boss, you are the host, you must add 17 kilobits to each station that's connected to you because you're trying to send all of this information out to everybody that's connected. So on a dial-up, if you look at it this way, 17 times 3 equals 51 kilobits per second. You might have a 56 kilobit system, but I'll bet you you're not getting more than probably 43 or 44 kilobits of actual transfer time. So it gets real tight when you're on dial-up. Now, cable again, 17 times 25 would be 425 kilobits on your up cycle. Let me retime. The question is awfully often asked, how can I determine what my system is capable of? You can search for a speed test on your favorite search engine on the Internet. I use on a regular basis speedtest.net, speedtest.net. Works very well, tells you what your system is doing and what you can expect both download and upload-wise. Again, do not be concerned about the download speed, but think about your upload capacity when you're talking about conferencing. Upload capacity is what's going to get you into trouble. Why our SCARS server does not allow conferences? A frequently asked question. The primary reason is audio loops. Now, if you think about this, if station A connects to the server, station B connects to station A, then station B decides to connect to the server at the same time, and the audio loop is created. It sounds like heck, somewhat like a wounded banshee. It's sometimes very hard to define the offender, and sometimes in bad cases it requires the server to be completely shut down and rebooted. Most large conference servers employ this conference-killing technique to avoid this issue. This is KY6V in South Car. Stand by one, please. What are we here, Pete? We're 3 minutes into after 9 o'clock. I'm going to overrun the 30 here just a tad bit. Just bear with me. Lynx, repeaters, and sysops under this category. Again, the subject will be covered under a separate presentation. However, I would like to say, please do not allow IDs, courtesy beeps, squelch tails, local announcements to be transmitted through your system when connecting to any conference server. It creates too much confusion, delays the progress of the server, interrupts the nets and QSOs, and on and on and on. All right, for you... you guys that are involved in some special use for Echolink, specialized timing settings are available. For those who are in need of rapid fire timing to support multiple stations acting as relay points for a fast going net, such as HF single sideband situation, drop us a line at VOIP at South Cars, and we will be happy to suggest our timer and delay settings. We have found that we can shave 70% of the default timing, 4 seconds in total, from the default settings, and have a perfectly fine rapid-firing response network. Excuse me. We use this to receive HF audio from specifically located relay stations throughout the eastern United States to monitoring or NCS stations that are unable to receive some of these stations direct due to band propagation. Works out nifty. It's a grand little system. Stand by one. Okay, here's my swan song. Wake up there, Pete. In conclusion, please bear in mind that we here at South Cars, and further many who use this SCARS server, stand ready to help you in any way that we can. We would hope that you would... have first utilized the information available in the Echolink help file, discussed your issues with a knowledgeable friend, or even communicated with the Echolink help desk. But if all else fails, drop us a note, tell us what the problem is, VOIP at southcars.com, and we'd be very happy to help where we can. With that, and 5 minutes and 44 seconds into the second hour, second half-hour segment. How about that? Back to our master of ceremonies, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen. VE2XBL from KY6B.
Very good, Gordon. Thank you very much. Thank you very much indeed. We appreciate that. Appreciate you being there, and we appreciate all your help tonight. Interesting indeed. With that, I guess we'll jump right into questions. I'm happy to say that so far I've seen up to 35 stations connected, and I've seen up to 5 countries. So we are truly global tonight, Gordon. Global audience indeed. So let's open her up for questions. This is South Cars TNT. My name's Pete, VE2XPL from Montreal. And we're opening it up for questions. Come on aboard. Questions about Echolink. Everything you were always afraid to ask. Now's your chance.
N8ECM.
All right, let's go. N8ECM. Joe, I believe. Come on aboard with your questions, sir.
Okay, good evening, everybody in the South Tower, Pete and Gordon. I do have one question. You know, Microsoft is coming out with Windows 7, and which is 7 days away. It's going to be released on October 22nd, and I'm kind of wondering, is Echolink software is going to be ready for the new Windows 7? Because I could not find any information about that, so I was just wondering if anybody knows any more about the Windows 7 operating system going to be capable of running Echolink. Go ahead, send an ECM.
All right, would you like me to pick that up here?
Yeah, absolutely, Gordon. Go right ahead. Jump in anytime. Once we open it up for questions, most of the questions will probably be addressed to you more than they will to me anyways. So, yes, sir. Go ahead. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Pete. Hey, good evening, Joe. Nice to have you with us tonight. I would not envision any problems. I don't know firsthand because, obviously, 7 is not out yet. My thinking would follow this way, that 7 is a upgrade remod of Vista. You had XP and then you rolled into Vista, and Vista was compatible with Echolink. There were no particular problems there, just a little harder to find what you had to find to set everything up. And I'm assuming that 7 will be the same way. I wouldn't lose any sleep before the water reaches us and starts to boil, Joe, over.
Oh, yeah. I remember when I got my first laptop, and it was, I was hoping it would be Windows XP, and it turned out to be Windows Vista. And I didn't realize that Windows Vista was only not even a couple of months old. You know, it was just in release. And I was having so much problems with it, trying to get the Echolink to work. You know, it would bring up the window, you know, and I couldn't able to receive. I couldn't get no call sign, no listening, no transmit, no nothing. It was just a blank Echolink window. And I was having so much problems with it. And then one day I reinstalled it, and just for the heck of it, and all of a sudden it started working on its own. And I don't know what I did or what happened, why it didn't work before, but it worked. You know, it worked right then and there. But I was just curious because Windows 7, like I said, it's been out, you know, with the RC edition, and it's it's a temporary issue of Windows 7, but the actual full edition is going to be coming out on October 22nd. So you either get an upgrade version of it to upgrade from Vista to Windows 7, and in order to, which I believe that if you go from XP and bypass Vista altogether into Windows 7, you have to get the full edition, the full install, where you're going to have to wipe out your hard drive and install Windows 7. So to me, that sounds like a nightmare. But anyway, I was just curious because, like I said, it's, Windows 7 is going to be coming out in within 7 days. And I was just wondering if Echolink is ready for it. So I'm pretty sure it is because I haven't heard anybody talking about it at all. So I was just wondering, but I'm pretty sure we will in an upcoming month. So anyway, back over to you. That's all I had. Just curious if anybody heard anything, you know. So over to you, Gordon, KY6V, from NDCN.
All right. Thank you very much, Joe. I'm smiling at your choice of words. It's not if Echo Link is ready for Microsoft, is Microsoft ready for Echo Link? There is a note from Greg in the text box. It's N3MUI. He says, I have a beta copy of the 7 at the office, and Echo Link is working fine. I don't think we're going to run into any problems. And if there's any minor issues, I can tell you that that's a hotshot, very professional team that Jonathan Taylor has got assembled, and they'll get on it and then get anything worked out in post-haste, I'm sure, if something was to occur. Pete, back to you for any possible questions, sir. KY6V, back to our master of ceremonies.
Well, very good. Thank you very much for that answer, Gordon, and thanks for the excellent question, Joe. Indeed, I'm glad you saw that in the text box, because I saw that as well, and I was going to mention it. I noticed that Michael might have had a comment. K7KJQ, would you like to chime in, sir? Come on aboard.
This is Michael, K7KJQ. I won't drag this out. We've beat this up enough. But just quickly, if there is an issue with any kind of application you're running in your current operating system, you can right-click on your shortcuts that fire them off or the executables themselves, and select properties, and there'll be several tabs at the top. One is called compatibility. You can check a box in there that says run this program in compatibility mode 4, and it'll have a drop-down box, and you can select the operating system by which you're tricking the application to think that it's running in. And I can't see why they would be removing that in Windows 7. I have not seen a copy of Windows 7, but I'm sure that functionality will still be there and available. With that, I'll turn it back to you, Pete.
Ah, very good. Well, thanks for that. Most excellent information indeed. I'll have to feel free to chime in at any time, and anybody who has any information, of course. This is an open forum, so we encourage discussion. So if you guys have anything to say, don't be shy. Thanks to all you guys, Joe, Greg, Michael. Appreciate all of that. And Gordon, of course. I have KJ4AOT who had a question, and stand by KG6NXX. Come on aboard, Ed.
Fine business there. I appreciate that. I'm running a new platform here. I'm running Linux Mint 7. It's called Gloria. And I've run it as a dual boot here on my system because I was unable to get Echo Link to fire off in Linux yet. And I've tried using Wine and Wine Doors and some programs that come with Linux and stuff like that. Anybody adding and running Echo Link in Linux to do it? Because if they have, I'd like to know about it. This is KJ4AOT. Send it back over to NetControl. Pick it up.
All right. Thanks for the excellent question. I'll defer to Gordon, of course. I know there's this podcast. I haven't gotten around to listen to it yet, but there's a podcast called Linux in the Ham Shack. It's made especially for those of us who like to tinker. Linux in a Ham Shack. How could you go wrong? Linux in the Ham Shack podcast. I believe it's put out by Black Sparrow Media. You can look that up, blacksparrowmedia.com, or if you Google Linux in the Ham Shack, you'll find that podcast quite easily. And I'll pass it over to Gordon to see if he has any insight. Come on aboard, KY6V.
Okay. Well, I'm going to defer it to the expert on channel here at the moment with the Linux-based applications, Ed. First of all, good evening to you. I hope Tony is close to the equipment. I see that he is connected. He's coming in through on IRLP 6390 down there in the Melbourne, Australia area. He is one of the leading experts on Linux-based software as it applies to a number of amateur applications. Tony, VK3JED, are you aboard, and can you field the question from AOT by any chance? Over. Okay. I guess he's in the train. On the train? In the train. On the train, Pete. Ed, may I suggest that you write that call down? Tony is a frequent visitor with us here on the SCARS server, and he Also has his email posted on QRZ. You could drop him a line and ask him the question. If anybody can steer you correctly, it would be he. Again, the name Tony. Call VK3, Victor Kilo 3, Juliet Echo Delta, JED. Ed, how about that? Over.
Yeah, the guy's got my name right there at the end of his call sign. Imagine that. Yeah, Linux is pretty cool. I know they wrote they can use it in Linux, but they didn't actually make the program for Linux for the downloadable stuff. I think that there's a lot of people out here on the ham side of it that are getting inspired using a different operating system and trying to get away from the window world of getting their information washed up. But Linux is going to be great. So I think that'd be cool. I think some of these LC4AOT, vector control.
This is K7KJQ. Ed, can you come back with your question quickly one more time? I only caught the tail end of what you're asking about Linux. I've been using Linux for over 10 years, and I might be able to answer your question.
Okay, Mike. Yeah, I'm running Linux version Mint 7, Gloria. And I've got it as a dual boot here, so I can run Echolink as well. But is there a program patch that you can download and run Echolink in Linux entirety by itself, or do you have to use Wine or Wine Doors to actually run the emulator to run Echolink? What's your thought on that?
It's a good question. I've never actually tried to run Echolink inside of Linux. But what I will do for you is I will do some research, and if your email is on QRZ, I will send you anything I do find out one way or another and let you know. I'm pretty good about finding out kinds of things like that, so rest assured I'll find something if it exists.
Yeah, I went in there, and I think I updated. If not, let me give it to you again. It's Kilo Julia 4 Alpha Oscar Tango at yahoo.com. Back over to Net Control.
Oh, very good. Thanks, Ed. Thanks for the excellent question. And Mike, thanks for chiming in. It actually took me a half sec to jump on the PTT. I was writing your name down as a Linux resource. And who knows, you might get harassed to give a presentation someday. And if not, you'll definitely get harassed by me. I've been considering for a long time trying to find an old machine and just setting up Linux, just for the fun of it, just for the opportunity to tinker. So we thank you guys for your questions and answers. Very cool. I have to laugh, too, because Gordon was discussing passwords before, and under Tools and Setup, there's a little question mark box where you could click and find your password. And of course, while Gordon was doing this, I was doing something else. And I was looking at another document in MS Word. I was looking under MS Word for the Tools menu, and I couldn't find it, so I just had to laugh at myself there. Anyhow, let's keep her going. Anybody else who has some questions, Echolink 101, this is South Cars TNT. Come aboard with your question now.
Net Control, RPM.
KG6NXX, standing by.
Yeah, roger that. Stand by RPM. I completely forgot NXX, and I apologize for that. KG6NXX, come aboard with your question, sir. Thanks for your patience.
Okay, Pete, Net Control, VE2XPL. I just did an operating system reinstall because I was about to lose my computer a couple of days back. All right, I got Echolink put back on. Then I decided to put Arty and Echolink 100 along with EasyPad on. And for some reason, Echolink 100 wants to keep on not wanting to stay on. And I was told at one time that I'm to have regular Echolink I was told to have regular Echolink playing in the background so Echolink 100 would operate. Over.
Let me run with that for a moment. John, good evening. Gordon here, KY6B. I assume I'm not familiar with the EchoLink 100. Explain what that program does. Is this one of the EchoLink add-on programs? You know, there's probably 50 of them in that gentleman's basket. All of them work very well. What does the 100 do, sir? Is it a conference server or what?
Well, it's an addition to EchoLink. You know how the radio looks like on CQ100? We'll put EchoLink 100, EchoLink to that, and then that's what you got. It's like a radio-looking version of on-screen version of CQ100, but for EchoLink, and it's constantly wanting to disconnect on me, you know, and it's constantly shutting down while I have the regular EchoLink going, and it's from I believe NAAD out of Erie, Pennsylvania, that program over. KY6B, VE2XPL, Net Control in the Group, KG6NXX.
All right. I'm familiar with 8 Alpha Delta, KY6B here. I would drop him an email and explain the situation and see what he has to say. A second source that can get you that information, if the email route fails for some reason, is stay attentive to Mike, KB8ZGL. He's out of the Grand Rapids, Michigan area. He can funnel that question over to AD and get you an answer. He is also okay on QRZ with his email. That's the fastest answer that I could supply, not having any hands-on experience with the 100 program. Over.
Okay, what was Mike's call again?
Kilo Bravo 8 Zulu Golf Lima, KB8ZGL. Over.
Full copy, KB8ZGL. Got it. KG6NXX. On over to you there. Thank you, Gordon. KY6B. Turn back on over to Net Control, VE2XPL.
Oh, very good, KG6NXX. Thank you. Excellent question, and thanks, Gordon, for the response. I'd like to take this opportunity to identify myself. This is VE2XPL in Montreal. I always forget to do that every 10 minutes like I'm supposed to, even though I'm safe up here across my little border. I'd like to bring Ed, KJ4AOT, Ed's attention to the text box. If you scroll up a little bit, you'll notice that Michael put a link in there for you to check out, so you can go verify that. I'd like to ask KC2QWO has a question, but if you'll stand by, I'd go right away to our next question, which was from RPM. I believe that was from Pennsylvania. Come on aboard, RPM.
Good evening, Pete. Quick nod to Gordon, and good evening to the net. KB3RPM, Dallas, here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Echo 0476, and the question is, I guess more to Gordon, how much are we talking out of pocket from someone trying to get on EchoLink? From they have the radio, they have a computer, they have a dial-up connection. How much out of pocket to get her going? Over.
All right. Good evening to you, Dallas. Glad you're there, sir. KY6V. You're talking about obviously coupling the radio to the computer, becoming a link or a repeater. If they've got the radio, they've got the computer, the only thing they need is an interface, either homemade or purchased. I haven't priced the interfaces for a long time. They were running anywhere from $65 on the low side to $165 on the high side. It's just a device that traps, picks up your receiver audio, sends it to the sound card. The output of the sound card is sent back through this device to your microphone plug, to the microphone pins so that it modulates the transmitter, and then you have a push-to-talk line involved. I can send you a schematic or a URL where you can find a schematic to build the whole thing for 29 cents, the cabling necessary and the switching necessary for one transistor, with one transistor. That's assuming you've got some stuff in the junk box. If you don't, you have to buy some audio cables and some plugs, maybe $10, Dallas, over.
I would appreciate that, Gordon. I'm on QRZ, and I believe you already have my email. But the question came up. I've never done it, so I couldn't answer. I said, you know what? I bet if I get on South Cars, they'll be able to answer it. But I'll look forward to that info. That was the question, how much out of pocket if you already have the radio and already have the computer. So thanks again. KP3RPM.
I made a note. I'll send it to you in the morning, Dallas. Thank you. Pete, go ahead, sir. KY6V.
Yeah, roger that. Thanks a lot, Dallas. Excellent question indeed. Quick off-topic question for Dallas. Were we talking, did we have a quick QSO last summer about GFRS walkie-talkies? Over.
That was me, Pete, and I'm also a Linux user.
Cool. My question to you is, did I ever answer your questions? I was supposed to get back to you, and after that I'll get back to the net. Over.
No, I never did hear back from you, but I still am curious if you still have that info about what you found out with range and so forth. Over.
Yeah, roger that. I know the call sign sounded familiar, and I'm taking a note now, and I'll either catch you after the net or I'll email you some information. So, yeah, indeed, we tried that out last time, and they worked quite well. And who knows, maybe we'll have a show about GFRS walkie-talkies one day. Anyhow, I'll break with you, Dallas. Thanks a lot. We'll catch up with you later. KC2QWO had a question, and he said he got his answer, but I thought it was a great question anyways. Do you need an Echolink-ready radio to connect to your PC? And Gordon's already answered that. The answer is no. Of course, the Echolink-ready radios certainly make it a lot easier, but if you don't have the budget and you already have the equipment, then no, all you need is a transistor and a couple of cables and connectors. I have seen interfaces, Gordon says, as low as $65. They go as high as $350 now with the Rig Blaster Pros, they have a new version of the Pro, which is about $400 Canadian, so about $350 US. So you can spend a lot of money on an interface if you want. Some of them have some interesting bells and whistles. Certainly, and Rig Blaster are not the only people who make them, so it's worth researching if you have a couple extra bucks. The bells and whistles can be interesting. So with that, we'll open it up for more questions. This is V2XPL in Montreal, the South Cars Open Forum, TNT Open Forum. Come on aboard with your questions. We have a thank you and a 73s from our station in Argentina. Come on aboard and say hi, LU7DTS. Welcome.
Okay, thank you, Pete. Thank you very much, and I appreciate the Gordon speech today, because I am preparing something similar to the newcomers here in Argentina, just explain how to make Echolink works in their computers. Thank you, and have a good night. 73 to everybody. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you very much, Tony, for... I was doubling with someone. I apologize. I'll thank Tony for being there. I'm glad that the information can help. And, of course, we're always here. So if you have any questions at all, send them to voip@southcars.com, and someone will be able to help you, I'm sure. I was doubling with KJ6ZD. Do you have a question? Come on aboard.
Well, maybe my transmitter went up on its own. Yeah, well, anyways, I was going to jump in, and I had a comment only. KJ6ZD, the name is Norbert, and I'm located in Vista near San Diego. Back to you, NetControl, and when it comes around, I got a comment for these very simple interface connects.
Well, you're up next, sir. Welcome, Norbert. Welcome indeed, and thank you for being part of the group tonight. Come aboard with your comment. You're more than welcome.
Well, thank you very much. I had just a word of caution, when you hook up radio transceiver via just the wiring, just an audio cable to the soundboard, you're going to have to be careful because the audio power from most of these mobile transceivers, they're somewhere in the 2-watt range, which is far too much for the soundboard input. So, word of caution, if you do a simple interface, just keep your audio low, because chances are, if the soundboard is not protected, it might blow away. That's all I had to say to it. Thank you so much. 7-3 all around.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate the comment. Gordon, do you have a reply? It's your show, and we haven't been talking to you much. Come on aboard.
No, I turn the show over to you. Hey, that's a good comment. And I'd like to expound on that for just a moment, Pete, and the group assembled. And that is, you know, when you're running a link, we haven't been talking about links and repeaters tonight on purpose because we're going to make a special presentation on that. But if you're taking the audio output out of the speaker jack as an example of a transceiver and running it into your sound card, use the line input. Number one, certainly watch your levels. Bring it up until it's satisfactory. Don't let everything come up wide open or you're going to have problems, as the gentleman just mentioned. But when you use the microphone input for that speaker audio, you get additional amplification in the sound card. And I mean to tell you, it starts sounding lousy fast for the overdriven state that it finds itself in. So the name of the game, the trick of the game, is to use the line input of your sound card. Don't use the microphone for speaker audio. Back to you, Pete, KY6V.
Excellent, excellent. Thanks for the precision, indeed. No, that's very important. A lot of people don't know audio. And the big thing in audio, that's what I was taught, the biggest thing in audio is mic level versus line level. They are not the same. Mic level is much lower than line level. So, yes, indeed, be careful where you are connecting your ins and outs, your gazintas and your gazettas. I have KA2, my eyes are leaving me again, KA2AKV, the horn will off. Is that a question or a comment? Come on aboard, sir.
Is that anything like the moose is loose?
I can't remember where I picked that up. I heard somebody say that. The gazintas and the gazettas, or the gazoutus, or I guess it's the gazoutas. I thought that was a cute little expression for the inputs and outputs. So there you go. all right, with that, we'll keep it rolling right along. We are at 38 minutes past the hour of 10 o'clock. We're in our 9 o'clock, I'm sorry, and we're 68 minutes into the show, so we're doing most excellent. We are open for questions, South Cars TNT. This is Pete, V2XPL, with our guest speaker, Gordon, KY6V, and we're taking questions on Echolink, so come on aboard. Yeah, we've answered all the questions. I have a couple of questions that I had jotted down there for such a lull, and there's my alarm. Why is my alarm going off 10 minutes early? I guess I didn't set it right. But that's okay. Let's see. Echo test. That was more of a comment, I guess. I use Gordon mentioned echo test, node number 9999, to set your levels. I have to say that I use it before every single show, of course, because I play with a little mixer, and I always have these little weird little sound effects that I do. So it's important for me to set the levels so that I don't blast anyone's ears. So there's my echo test comment. Also, on the PTT, spacebar versus other, I wonder if Gordon could comment on if you use your spacebar, I believe that you can't go system-wide with your PTT. And what I mean by that is if Echolink is open and you say you have Microsoft Word open and you're looking at Microsoft Word and that box is active and you push on your spacebar, you will not transmit on Echolink. But by using any other key, I use the control keys as well. You have a little checkbox in there under one of the menu. I believe it's under preferences, although Gordon will have to look that up in a second. I apologize. But you can click the system-wide checkbox, and no matter what box is active, you can transmit on Echolink. Would you like to comment on that, Gordon? KY6V, this is V2XPL.
Well, I'd be happy to, Pete. I think you really covered the essence. KY6V here. The question or the subject matter that's under discussion at the moment is the use of the spacebar for a PTT function, the replacement of the lightning bolt at the top of your Echolink screen, which is really a PTT function. And you're absolutely correct. You know, you mentioned Microsoft Word. It can be any other program that uses a spacebar. And what happens is if you have Echolink up, you have selected the spacebar to be used, and you have in multitasking form several other programs running in the background that can use the spacebar, they'll steal the spacebar from you. And then you get through with your transmission, assuming that you're transmitting, you hit the spacebar and nothing happens. I mean, absolutely nothing happens. You get out of that in a big hurry by simply going up to the lightning bolt with your mouse and, you know, going back to receive that way. Conversely, if you're receiving, you want to start transmitting and you hit your spacebar, the spacebar has been stolen. The best thing to do is to pick one of the other options that the program gives you for another key application on the keyboard. The plus sign is used quite frequently over on the numeric pad of a standard keyboard. Pete and I use the control key. I use the one to the right of the spacebar because I never use that. If I use a control key, it's always the left. Let me buy a nickel here a minute, Pete. There are even some people, and a lot of people don't know about this one, but one of the options is if you have a mouse that has a scroll wheel on the mouse, that also acts as a switch. Besides rolling that thing forward and backwards, you can click it up and down. And you can select the scroll button on your mouse to be your push to talk. I've tried it. It's not my cup of tea, but it works fine anyway. Back to you, Pete, KY6V.
All right. Cool. It works. Thanks, Gordon. I had no idea. I didn't know that. I'm doing that right now. This is great. Oh, wow. What fun. Always a learning experience. Thanks for the clarification, Gordon. I'm just so excited. It's fun, as you can tell. I'd like to welcome PY2ASB, a station from Brazil, making it the sixth country to chime in tonight. I was wondering if you have a comment. PY2ASB, come on aboard. This is South Cars Thursday night open forum. All right, Brazil, you're more than welcome to listen. Welcome aboard. We're happy to have you. Thanks again for that. The path for that to go to the to what we're talking about, the system-wide checkbox is under Tools, Preferences, Connections, PTT control. Yes, it's hidden pretty deep in the menu system. Tools, Preferences, Connection, and then PTT control, and you can go check that system-wide checkbox if you wish. And there's also a switch right under that, or a checkbox under that, that'll let you pick a momentary versus not momentary operation. So you can have your system set up so that you click on your system, talk, and you can keep talking until you click it off. I choose the momentary mode, which is more like a real PTT, so that when I finish talking, I let go and I'm guaranteed to stop transmitting. Because I've been caught like that before with my pants down, where I thought I'd stop transmitting, but I still was. And actually, Gordon heard me singing on the weekend, running with the kids and singing, in just such a situation. So anyhow, we'll keep it going. Anyone with questions, we're talking about Echolink tonight. Come on aboard. KY6V is our guest. Have we answered all the questions? I think not. Come on, guys. Guys and gals. I don't know if there's any gals out there tonight. None of them have chimed in yet. I'm sure there are. Hello to our lovely young lady listeners. Well, I have another question then. We're talking about audio loops. You mentioned in your presentation about why we have the conference killer and why we don't allow multi-conferencing and audio loops. Of course, cause a lot of noise, and sometimes the server needs rebooting. But can these audio loops actually cause any physical damage to any of the systems involved? Over.
Well, let me say that it hasn't so far. But some of the levels can get rather extreme. You know, it's like holding your microphone next to a second source that's carrying the same audio path, and you get hellacious amount of feedback. And the levels that are produced can be damaging to equipment. But the major thing that we're concerned about, we haven't had any loss of equipment because of this, but it can get so intense. If your conferences are open, the guy that is the offender on the loop is 10 levels down from there's 10 people between he and the server before he connected to the server direct. It's very difficult to identify. What happens is the server itself, Pete, starts going into a loop. Processing within the server goes into a loop digitally. And it's very difficult to stop. If that loop really gets rolling, it's the only way you can stop it is to turn the server off, reboot it, and bring it back up. Now, the offending station may have disappeared and gone fishing, but that loop is still existing in the server, because once it grabbed its momentum, the only thing we could do is turn off its off of its feed, you know, its power feed. So it's something we try to avoid with a plague, sir. KY6V, over. Open and...
All right, very good. Thank you very much. That completely answers the question. Looking at 9:48, we're only going to take a few more questions before we end the official portion of the show. We stop recording at 10 o'clock for podcast purposes, for file sizes and lengths, etc. But that doesn't mean we won't hang out after and keep talking. We have Roy, KJ4NHO, who had a question. Come on aboard, Roy. Welcome.
Good evening, KJ4NHO. My question is on hooking up EchoLink through a proxy server. Can that be done?
I'd be happy to answer that, Pete. May I have it, over?
Yeah, roger that. Better you than me, because I have no idea. Take it away, Gordon. Thanks.
All right. Hi, Roy. Good evening to you, sir. KY6V here. The answer is yes. Absolutely no problem whatsoever. The EchoLink program supplies the ability to connect to a number of proxies worldwide. I'll pull that up on my system here. I believe it's under the... Yes, it's in the setup window under tools, about the third window over, call proxy. It's covered in the help file for you, Roy, on how to set it up. This is something that's very important for a number of reasons. If you're running two computers in your home, Roy, both of which you want to run EchoLink on and both simultaneously, and you only have one IP address coming into your home, public IP address coming in, you cannot run two computers on one IP address. So you stick one IP, you stick one computer with EchoLink on a proxy feed and the other to your normal IP. Let me buy a nickel here for a moment. In addition, this proxy situation becomes very helpful when you're traveling. You're in a hotel or a motel and may have Wi-Fi service available in the facility. And it's got this gigantic router that's part of their equipment, and their router is not open for 5198, 5199, 5200. You can't work EchoLink because they got you blocked. So you say, well, I'll fix you, and you just go into a proxy feed, and you're out and running. And I'm sure you probably already know this. The proxy connect runs through port 80, which is your normal internet interface port anyway. So what you're doing is sneaking out the normal port 80, getting to somebody that's set up as a proxy, and they are the interface to you or for you to the Echolink server. Does that answer your question, Roy? Over. For some reason, I heard Paul's system key up, but I didn't hear your response. Roy, did that answer your question, sir? NHOKY6V, over. Oh, maybe he's on the telephone. I didn't notice the text box. He says standby. Go ahead, Pete, and come back to him when he's possibly ready, over.
Yeah, roger that. No, he's still connected. That was my note that was asking him to stand by because he indicated in the text box that he had a question. I'll just assume that you answered that question for him, and if he has another one, then he's more than welcome to chime in again. I have N4FTD. I don't know if you have a transmission. You can come aboard and stand by KE5STP.
Mike Hotel.
And stand by Mike Hotel. Paul, are you with us? Did you wish to speak? Over. No, Paul must have just fallen asleep and his head is leaning on the PTT there. So with that, we have KE5STP. Come aboard with your comment and stand by Mike Hotel.
Roger, KE5STP here. Ira in Houston. Good evening to everybody. Gordon's explanation of the use of proxies was excellent. I've used that myself. Even though I'm running a link station, I can connect Echolink with the link station on one computer and then go into the bedroom and on a laptop connected to the proxy, I can see the screen. So then I can be using an HD and also see who's in the room looking on the screen of the laptop. That's one advantage of using a proxy, besides the motel setup. It's really an excellent program, Echolink. Can't get over how wonderful it is. I would encourage people to, besides just being chained to the computer and using keys to push to talk, you really deserve to make it official, add a radio to the system, and get an HT, use an HT connected to a 2-meter rig on the same frequency, and then use an interface like I use the Signalink interface, which has its own sound card, so I like it better than the Rig Blaster interface, and it connects directly to the USB port of the computer. It dedicates the radio while you're using it, but and it does produce an RF signal. So you have to ID every 10 minutes. But otherwise, I think it's vastly superior. You can walk around the house with the HT. Depending on your antenna, you can go outside, even go a few miles away. So I would encourage people to who are just on Echolink with the computer to consider making themselves a link station, a dash L. And you can get approval for that from Echolink. It usually just takes a few minutes, usually. And then you can go from there. I think it's really a wonderful advantage over being stuck sitting at the computer with a headset. I personally don't like headsets. They're smothering to me. But in any event, that's my comment. And this is a wonderful system, SCARS, and I enjoy being a part of it. And I was very nicely welcomed when I first joined, and that was really quite a pleasure. So this is KE5STP, and returning back to Net Control.
Oh, very good. Thanks for the comment, Ira. Excellent, excellent comment. However, you're getting ahead of me. We're going to have a show, a follow-up show on Dash L Dash R's on setting up links and stuff like that. But yeah, indeed, KC2QWO asks, is there an advantage to using your radio with Echolink? And there's many advantages. Of course, these are personal opinions, but it gives you freedom to walk or drive around. You could take off with your HT, drive around with your mobile. Plus, it You know, you can play radio. You're not sitting in front of your computer, so you're not chained to your desk, as it were. So, the advantages. KE5STP, come on aboard. Give me more advantages if you'd like. Over to you. Sorry.
I'll give you one more, P.
Yeah, come on aboard.
Yeah, it's just me. You know, it's not me. It's not I. It's everybody. You put up a link system, you get your antenna hopefully up in the air at a reasonable altitude, you have an efficient running 2-meter system or 440, whatever, and now the whole local area can get onto Echolink too. The guys and gals that are hams in your town, running around in their cars, walking up and down the main boulevards with their handhelds, can talk into your system and talk with people all the way around the world. It's not just you, it's everybody. Go ahead, Pete, KY6V.
Yeah, roger that. Indeed, the advantages are endless. I mean, if you like to play radio, I think that's the best one. I'd like to mention that you do not need an internet-ready radio to connect to internet, to connect to Echolink. Any radio will do, or just about any radio will do, and like I said, we'll cover that topic in great detail on an upcoming show. I think that'll be the next section of the Echolink series. We'll be setting up a -L-R, because that's becoming quite popular as well. And I had another comment in here. K5STP, come on aboard with your comment.
Yeah, just K5STP here. Just to add to what Gordon mentioned, yes, while it's true that other people who tune into your frequency that you've set your HT and your 2-meter rig on can join in, generally speaking, you try to use a quiet frequency to set your HT and radio on so that you don't interfere with anybody else. But it's certainly true that if somebody else comes along and zero beats that frequency, they too can be part of the connection to Echolink. So, but the nice thing about using an HT is you can roam around, you're not stuck at the computer, and you can talk all over the world on your HT through Echolink. And it's a very easy system to set up. The interface, the one I use, is a Signalink, and it just involves setting up some jumper cables to match the connector cable to your rig. The connector cable has to match the rig, particular rig that you're using. You can use any HT. The Signalink interface connects to the computer via USB port. No sound card, extra sound card is needed. So you're not using the computer's sound card with that unit. Rig Blasters are another popular interface, and they use the sound card of the computer. So anyway, I can't recommend enough that people use an HT with Echolink. Enough said. Back to you guys, K5STP.
Yeah, thanks again, Ira. We'll have to have you on as a guest host when we talk about -L-Rs, if you'd like to join us. I'm afraid I've done it again. Mike Hotel has been more than patient and had a question. Come on aboard, Mike Hotel.
Yeah, good evening, Pete. Good evening, Gordon, and good evening to the rest of the South Cars Net. This is N2MH in beautiful uptown West Orange, New Jersey. I just wanted to make a comment on the use of proxies for accessing Echolink. There was a tidbit in the latest QST that just arrived in my mailbox where some fellow claimed to be at 40,000 feet in a commercial airliner, was able to use his laptop through the internet connection on the airplane to access Echolink. He said he had to go through a proxy, though, and you talk about that big bad router in the sky now, blocking the required port. So he was able to use a proxy and use Echolink on his laptop. So for further information, check out the latest QST. This is N2MH.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. Indeed, I have a note from K5STP. Some connect for 1 to 2 hours, some for 24, some 48, etc. I guess it depends on the server. They're very configurable, I would imagine. Configurable is probably not a word, but I use it as to mean to configure. Anyhow, with that, I will put an end to the official part of the show, just for the sake of the length. I'm sorry, I'm looking at my papers again. With that, I'd like to thank our guest, Gordon, KY6V. Would you like to come aboard with some final comments before we close down the official session, sir? Come on aboard, Gordon.
Well, just a great big thank you to everybody that attended this evening. And thank you, Sir Peterson, on Mark's comment. That's beautiful. 40,000 feet and working the world on Echolink. A similar situation happened, if you recall, Pete, several months back, where Michael down in Pembroke Pines, Florida, took a cruise to South America. And he was wallowing around out there in the water on this big steamship. And he used a proxy to get through the satellite system on the boat ship, I guess. And he checked in with our Saturday night or Saturday morning session at High C, so it can be done. Thanks for everything, Pete. I'll be around. I'm going to slip down the hall and turn left, but I'll be back in case anybody has any questions and wants to follow on. KY6V, over.
Oh, roger that. Thank you very much indeed. We will let you go down the hall and make that left. That was our net manager, Gordon, KY6V, with tonight's presentation, Echolink 101. Just a little note, due to the broadness and complexity of the subject, I think that several follow-up presentations will be scheduled after this evening's introductory session. We've got to talk about -L-R systems, which we get a lot of interest in, hubs, routers, modems, firewall issues. We can discuss those in depth. Each of those could practically be a show. Keep in touch. We'll keep you guys informed as we schedule these events. Next week, I'm planning another surprise. I'm not letting the cat out of the bag this time, so you guys will have to tune in and see what we have planned. But it'll be very informative and a lot of fun, as usual. A few quick announcements. We need your input. Send us your suggestions for topics of discussion for this open forum. Any and all topics will be considered. Also, if you have a skill or topic of interest that you want to share with us, we invite you to be a host on South Cars TNT Open Forum. You can contact us live, of course, anytime that you see us on the air, or drop us a line at voip@southcars.com. All details for this and other VoIP nets can be found at www.voip.southcars.com. And a last quick announcement, I'm looking for some co-producers for the show. If you'd like to be responsible for one show a month, that's all I'm asking. If you want to be responsible for one show a month, from the planning stage to airing your own show, finding guests, it's a great opportunity to get involved with a one-of-a-kind net. So drop us a line at the aforementioned email. So with that, I'm going to conclude the official session of this edition of South Cars TMT. Cows have come home, people. With that, I'll say 73s to all, and I will be monitoring for several minutes to follow. Thanks to everyone who's joined us. We had 19 stations check in. We had 9 questions and 7 comments tonight, all excellent. And I learned a lot myself, and I hope you guys did too. So I'll say 73s, and we'll catch you guys down the log. There's V2XPL, Pete in Montreal. See you guys next week.